So what are you hungry for? She said, we're having steak. We're having meatloaf. We have pasta. What are you hungry for? Well, I want to talk about being hungry for spiritual things. So Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. And we're going to read there. It says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You can be seated. So the scripture says, if you only partake of milk, you are unskilled in the word of righteousness because you are a babe. Now we know, y'all, most of all of you know that we have Jude who only drinks milk. If I put a steak in front of him, he wouldn't know what to do with it. And there's nothing wrong with that because he's a baby. He is not expected to eat steak. He's expected to drink milk because that's where he is spiritually. But as he gets older, it will be expected that he will eat meat. We have to grow spiritually speaking. Now you, the sad thing is, you can be an adult physically and be a baby spiritually. That's what he was talking about here. He said, verse 11, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. And we're going to talk about that later. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, so they should have been in a place of maturity where they were teaching. Instead, he said, you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, that's a sad thing when we stay a baby spiritually and we continue to grow physically. It is vitally important that we learn to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to us. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. But like Dash, who was just trying to eat the meat, and his mom said, hey, you know, Bob, can you help your carnivore cut his meat? Because he's just trying to gnaw on this meat. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us so that we can understand. And we're going to see that in scripture. Solid food, the Bible says in that verse that we read, belongs to those who are full age, those that are mature. Now, people who are of age eat meat, even if they're not fully grown. My children eat, Silas eats meat. He's 9. He's still growing, but he eats meat. As we grow, we can learn to eat meat because the Holy Spirit reveals it to us, as I've said, but we should never get to the point where we stop growing. My mom, who has been serving the Lord for 50 years, right at 50 years, she is still growing. She is still getting revelation of the truth as God reveals things to her. And so we should never get to the place where we aren't growing spiritually. Notice it says solid food belongs to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By reason of use, because your senses are used, because they are exercised, which means trained. We have our senses trained to discern both good and evil. Now, it doesn't say just between good and evil, whether or not something is good or evil. It says we have our senses trained to discern both good and evil. As we learn to allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes so that we can see things in the spiritual, then we will be able to see good things in the spiritual and evil things in the spiritual. Now, a perfumer is a term used for an expert on creating perfume. Perfume compositions is sometimes referred to affectionately as a nose due to their fine sense of smell and skill in producing olfactory compositions. So somebody who is a perfumer has trained their nose to be able to experience. Somebody who's a perfumer, their sense of smell is more trained than mine is. Someone who is a chef, my sister is a good cook, and she's better at spices and learning because she has trained herself to learn what spice goes with what meat. That's training that she has learned by tasting, by cooking, by trying different things. As we grow spiritually, we need to train our senses to listen to our spiritual senses, to what the Holy Spirit is teaching us. As Christians, we have to learn to see with our spiritual ears and hear with our spiritual ears. We have to train our physical senses to learn to listen to our spiritual senses. 1 Corinthians 3, because otherwise if we don't do that, we will live fleshly. We will live only carnally, looking at things, how they appear in the physical all the time. We'll learn to live by how we feel. Well, I don't feel like worshiping today, so I'm not going to worship. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. It doesn't matter how big God is, because if I only learn to focus on my physical senses, well, I'm not feeling it today. The truth is, as spiritual people, it doesn't matter what we feel with our physical senses. When I learn to accept the truth of the Word of God, it doesn't matter what I see with my physical eyes, because our physical eyes can deceive us, and we can focus on the physical instead of the spiritual. And that's what the problem that Jesus had. And we're going to look at that in a few minutes. The problem that Jesus told the people that they had. Let me explain that. So 1 Corinthians 3:1-3 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal." Carnal is fleshly, focusing only on the physical. "As to babes in Christ," notice they were babes in Christ because they were carnal, because they only focused on the physical, on what their flesh saw and felt. "For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" He said, "You can't receive meat because you are carnal." They were focusing on the flesh. He said, "Where there are envy and strife and divisions, you are carnal and acting like mere men." They're focusing on their physical, on what people are doing to me, on how I feel, on what makes me upset, instead of looking at the spiritual things, on how God would have them to respond. We need to have our physical senses focused on what our spiritual senses are telling us, what the Holy Spirit is revealing to us. We need to be listening and looking and feeling and tasting and with the spiritual. The Bible says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." It's not talking about our physical taste. It's talking about our spiritual taste. And we're going to look at that later, because Jesus said in John 6, "You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood." Was he saying we need to become cannibals? Of course not. He was talking about spiritually and eating spiritually. But if we only walk in the flesh and we only look with our physical eyes, we will miss what's happening in the spiritual. There used to be an old saying that was partly true at times, that people were so heavenly minded that they were no earthly good. But as I've said before, now people are so earthly minded that they're no heavenly good at times. If we become only focused on what we see with our physical eyes, as I said, we will miss the spiritual. If we persist in unbelief, we will miss the blessing, is what Joanna Weaver, who wrote the book Having a Merry Spirit. If you put that PowerPoint up, Joe. She said, "If we persist in unbelief, we will miss the blessing. So I say this to myself as well as to you. Don't let your chronic attachment to facts and rationality cause you to miss the miraculous things God wants to do in your life." Does that mean we just go around, we just check our brain at the door, like some people say about Christians? Of course not. We don't have to check our brain at the door. Our God is a supernatural, intelligent God who created us. But we do have to learn to see beyond just what we feel and just what we see. Matthew 13. Let's look here. And this is where Jesus was explaining to the disciples. In Matthew 13:10, it says, "And the disciples came and said to him," Jesus, "why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophet of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing, you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing, you will see and not perceive.' For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." And Jesus said to his disciples, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Jesus' words are spirit and they are life. So here he's saying, now was he saying that the people while he was preaching were like this? No, physically they were looking, physically they were hearing, but it wasn't getting beyond that. They were not perceiving in the spiritual. He said, your eyes have closed. Andrew Womack talks about, and Barry Bennett in their book, they talk about the fact that if we as Christians walk around with our physical eyes open, but our spiritual eyes and ears closed, it's just like a blind person walking around bumping into things. We do that sometimes in the spiritual because we don't allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to spiritual things. Look in 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 14. We have to be determined to focus on what God is saying, what God wants us to understand. The people that saw Jesus, I mean, how many of you would have liked to have seen Jesus physically? I would have loved to have seen Jesus physically. And yet, he was right in front of them, and they missed it. They missed what he was saying because their eyes were closed spiritually and their ears were closed spiritually. And this happens to people in church. They sit in church for year after year after year after year. And they stay a spiritual baby. They grow older physically, but they stay a spiritual baby. Why? Because they close their eyes. Because they don't allow the Holy Spirit to reveal spiritual things to them so that they can discern with their spiritual senses. And so they stay in infancy as Christians. 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 14 says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes in John 16, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us. And when I preach, I say, Holy Spirit, I need you to give revelation. I realize I cannot give you revelation. I can speak what the Holy Spirit leads me to say, but the revelation comes from the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that gives us the revelation in our spirit. The amazing thing that you need to understand is that sometimes your spirit will understand things before your mind can comprehend it enough to explain it. I shared this on a Wednesday night one time. My mom, when she first got saved, she said she was going to church and she was growing and she was learning and she was inviting her friend and she said, you have to come, you have to come. It's so good. And the friend said, well, what are you learning? She said, I don't know, but it's so good. She couldn't explain it with her mental capacity. And I have very often, I remember when I tried to teach and I tried to preach on in John 4, where Jesus was explaining to the woman about spiritual water. And in John 7, when he says, there will be rivers of living water, I have tried to intellectually explain that and connect all the dots. I can't. It is a spiritual truth that we have to understand in our spirit that the Holy Spirit teaches us. So verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 2 says, but the natural man, the fleshly man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We have to realize as Christians, if you walk around only accepting the things that you can explain mentally, that you can understand intellectually, and only receiving those things, you will become blind. You will not be able, or you will not move past infancy. You will stay right there because the Holy Spirit is the one who brings revelation. As we open our spiritual eyes and open our spiritual ears, he reveals things to us. But if you put up that next PowerPoint, this is also from the book, Having a Merry Spirit. She said, left to ourselves, we will always default to the carnal, which is really just another word for the flesh. If we do not train our senses to discern both good and evil, then we will default to the carnal and we will live fleshly. Well, I don't feel like going to church today. I'm tired. I don't feel like worshiping today. I'm not in the mood. I don't feel like forgiving. That person hurt me. I don't feel like fasting. My body is hungry. All of those things are focused on the physical instead of the spiritual. And yet, when we learn to focus on the spiritual and let the Holy Spirit lead us and we begin to live by our spirit instead of by our flesh, then we begin to walk as mature Christians. What is something that we train our children as they get older? Right now, Jude will be 4 months on the second. He cries when he needs something. He just lays in the bed and cries. And miraculously, somebody comes and gets him and figures out what he needs, changes his diaper, gives him, you know, feeds him, you know, whatever he needs. That's fine because he's a baby. As he grows, though, I will expect him not to just lay in the bed all day and cry. And yet, as Christians, when we don't become mature spiritually, whenever things happen to us physically, and maybe things aren't right in our world, if we don't grow past infancy, we just cry about it all the time. Oh, I thought God loved me. I was trying so hard and everything bad just keeps happening. And we just focus on the physical. As mature Christians, we need to learn to, like Brian was talking about in Sunday school, God, what are you teaching me through this trial? What is the point? What do you want me to get from this? That is maturity. Just like my children, when, you know, they go through things and you watch them, they learn to regroup and go, you know what? Sometimes still initially, they might freak out initially. But what happens is because we expect them not to stay there. You cannot sit here and cry all day long. You have to grow up. You have to understand this is part of life. God, when we will learn to say, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? And we begin to learn to see with our spiritual eyes and say, God, you are still God. You are still big and you are still faithful. And God, I refuse to focus on just what I see and just what I feel because God, your word says, and we instead begin to focus on what the word of God says instead of what we feel, instead of what we see, then we begin to grow and mature. And I've said this from personal experience, we always want God to join our pity party, but he doesn't, because he doesn't want us to sit in self-pity. He wants us to step into what his word says and begin to live. That's why, you know, Paul and Silas could have had a big old pity party when they had been whipped in a Philippian jail, but they didn't. They learned to focus on God. They learned to focus on the spiritual, and then God did the supernatural. So we have to learn to listen to our spirit, because trying to understand spiritual concepts in a natural, fleshly mind will cause you to get frustrated and confused. There are some concepts that cannot just be explained physically. They have to be known spiritually. That's what this verse that we just read. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It is expected that we as Christians would learn to spiritually discern things and get beyond just our natural man. John 6, look in John chapter 6. It can't be about our wisdom. It requires us to go to the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. That's what I love, 1 Corinthians 2:13. It says, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. The Bible says also, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance those things which I said. The Holy Spirit, when I'm studying my Bible, the Holy Spirit will bring scriptures that compare. And I'm like, wow, I never saw how those scriptures went together. The Holy Spirit is the one who wrote the Bible. He knows it better than anybody else. So he compares spiritual things with spiritual and explains. If you're reading something and you don't understand it, I would challenge you, pray. Say, Holy Spirit, give me understanding. You are the teacher. And then look up references, because people, sometimes those references that have been put in there are there because people have sought God and the Holy Spirit has revealed the comparisons there. And we can learn and grow as we see those comparisons. So John 6, 48, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which come down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. See, we're going to see how these people responded, how there were two groups and two different groups responded two different ways. And we're going to see. But what happens is people just go, see, I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me. What do? If they're a Christian, they stay in infancy. They stay drinking milk because they go, I can't understand that. Or if they haven't allowed God to open their eyes at all, then they just walk away from Jesus. They don't understand what he's saying. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my body is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" We often get offended about things that we don't understand. And this is what Jesus saw was happening with them. He said, "What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, 'Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father.'" This is a sad verse. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?'" And this is powerful. "But Simon Peter answered and said to him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" When you get a revelation of who Jesus is, then even when you don't understand with your intellectual mind, you realize he is bigger. And you stay tuned for him to reveal it to you. And you get into the word and you say, "Holy Spirit, help me to understand." And you allow God to reveal things to you. You don't just walk away and go, "Well, I can't understand that." But that's what the people did. Some of the people just walked, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can know it?" We can't know it in our physical mind. We cannot intellectualize the things. That's why 1 Corinthians 1 says God didn't choose. He chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, that no flesh could glory in his presence. It's not about me being up here sharing my wisdom and my knowledge that I have from being in church 20 years or 40 years or however long I've been in church. That's not what it's about. It is about spiritual things that the Holy Spirit teaches as we study his word, that he reveals. And so, how do we feed on him? How do we eat his words? We study the word of God. Jesus is the living word. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." Jesus was the living word of God. And so as we choose to feed our spirit on the word of God, and we allow the Holy Spirit to give us understanding, then our senses are exercised and we begin to see beyond the physical and into the spiritual. And so God can reveal things in the supernatural, good things and evil things, as we allow him to teach us. Look in 2 Kings chapter 6. And this was the story of Elisha. Elisha saw in the supernatural. His servant only saw in the physical. And this is what happens. 2 Kings 6:11 says, "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?'" Because Elisha, God was revealing supernatural things to the prophet Elisha. Then he would go and tell the king of Israel. And so here, the king of Syria is like, "There is a traitor amongst us. Somebody is telling Israel what I am saying, going back to him." And so this was the people's response. One of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king." But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." Do we think that in the new covenant, now that we have the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us, that God could reveal it to Elisha in the Old Testament, but that he can't reveal spiritual things to us now in the New Testament? We miss it because our eyes are closed and our ears are dull of hearing, because we've heard and heard and heard, but not put into practice, because we've become a hearer of the word and not a doer, like James says. But let's continue. It says, "So he said, 'Go and see where he is, that I may get him.' And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. A whole army to get one prophet. Okay, we are always a majority when we have God. Always a majority. And so it says, when the servant, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Elisha saw in the spiritual, so he was not afraid. But the servant was only seeing in the physical, and he's probably thinking, I'm not understanding two versus a whole army. So here he says, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. We consistently need to be saying to God, open my eyes that I can see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. His physical eyes were already open. He was looking at the situation physically already. So what is he talking about here? He's saying, open his spiritual eyes. Let him see in the supernatural. And look what happens. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And you should read the rest of that story because it's powerful. We are afraid when we are only looking at the physical. That's why we have to learn to walk in the spiritual. That's why we have to learn to eat the words of Jesus. Because what happens is when we get afraid, we can look at God and say, God, you are the one. Your word says that you stop the ocean with your hand. Your word says greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And then we begin to not be afraid just looking at the physical, because we realize that with God, we are a majority. We realize that the Bible says that if I trust in the Lord with all my heart, I can lean not to my own understanding. That's what it commands me to do, is not to lean to my own understanding, in all my ways to acknowledge him, and he will direct my path. So when I get to a situation, when I have learned to have my senses exercised to discern both good and evil, then my spiritual ears are constantly open. Not just in a moment when I need direction. Oh God, I'm going to college now and I haven't been listening to you, but I need to know now what you want me to do. Or, oh God, I'm facing this huge issue and now all of a sudden I need. And you know, God is so merciful that when we stop and listen, he does speak. But the sad thing is we missed all those other 364 days of the year that God was speaking. The Bible says his sheep know his voice and another they will not follow. God is speaking all the time. So what is the problem? We are missing what he's saying. I was listening to a message by Andrew Womack on Friday, and he was saying that if your television, when you turn on your television, the program has already been coming forth. It's already, the message has already been sent. You're just not listening to it. You're not seeing it because you haven't turned on your television. Well, when you stop, if you turn the television off, it doesn't make sense to go to the transmitter and go, why are you not transmitting? What is wrong with you? And yet that's what we do to God. We go, God, why aren't you speaking? God is already speaking. We need to have our spiritual ears tuned in to what he is saying. How do we do that? I'm going to tell you something very simple and very important to learn to hear spiritually. You have to slow down and you have to be quiet. And in our world today, people don't like to do either. God, I have 5 minutes. I'm going to give you my list and I want you to respond and I want you to do these things for me. God, I have 10 minutes. I have 2 hours to watch television, but I have 10 minutes to read my Bible and I want you to give me a grand spiritual truth. Listen, we need to invest in our spiritual life if we want to hear from God. God created us in his image. How would you feel if somebody came to you and said, okay, I have 10 minutes, speak now. You know, God wants to cultivate us a relationship with us. You know, in the garden, he came to talk, to commune with Adam and Eve. He wants to commune with us. He wants to reveal things to us. He wants to speak to us. But we have got to get quiet and get slowed down enough to listen. If you do not have time to seek God in your life, then you are too busy. It is that simple. All of us have the same 24 hours, 7 days a week. And if you stand before God and say, I didn't have time, that is a lie. Because we all have time and we all have a choice as to how we use that time. And we don't have an excuse. And we cannot stand before God and say, well, God, you know that the kids had soccer. And you know that life was busy. And you know that, you know, I had to work 80 hours a week so that I could, you know, pay for all these other stuff that I didn't need. Listen, we have got to get our self focused on spiritual things. And, you know, my kids played soccer. There's nothing wrong with soccer. It's a great opportunity to witness. We've had people come to the church because we met them and God opened doors. But if we're saying to God, I have time for all of these other things, so I have 5 minutes for you, then something in our life is taking up too much of our time. We have to slow down and we have to listen. I want to close with this last passage of scripture. I look in Acts chapter 13. As we begin to let the Holy Spirit open our spiritual eyes, He will begin to reveal the supernatural. I promise you, if you will seek to begin to hear the voice of God and you will give Him time to speak, you will begin to hear Him speak. Now, initially, and I know this, for me, this journey of walking more in the presence of God started, I guess, maybe two and a half years ago. And I was a Christian before. I've served the Lord for as long as I can remember. I was a Christian. But when I read the book, Practicing the Presence of God, that this man named Brother Lawrence, he just walked in the presence of God all the time, just focused on, and I thought, God, is that possible? Well, the scripture says pray without ceasing. God, how do you do that? Because always before, I kind of explained that away. Well, God knows that we have to do certain things and we have to, but I'm learning. There is so much more communion with God if we will learn to listen with our spiritual ears. But initially, it can be challenging because you're going, wait, God, is that you? Is that me? Is that the devil trying to confuse me? That's why we have to put some time into our spiritual life. We have to rebuke the devil. We have to say, submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and believe that he will flee. Because the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. We have to learn to listen. But just the same as the more that you talk to someone, the more that you begin to recognize their voice. Now, there are a lot of you, if you call me, I don't have to look at my caller ID. I know who it is because I know your voice. The more that we listen to the Holy Spirit, the more that we talk to God and listen to Him, the more that we will recognize His voice. And I would challenge you, do not make your prayer time with the Lord only a monologue. Often we just give our list, even if we come in and praise. Listen, God wants to talk to us, but we have to, there was a song that we used to sing, say, quiet down my busy mind, find a hiding place. We have to learn to get alone and get quiet. Jesus said, when you have gone into your closet and shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and He who is in the secret place will hear you. So when you go into your closet to shut the door, to spend time alone with God, to where you can get alone with Him, recognize the Bible says your Father is already in the secret place. He's already there. So don't sit there and go, oh, I just wish God would meet with me. He is there. The scripture says that when you go into your closet and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in the secret place, He is there. And just sit and listen. And you say to God, just like you would want one of your children to come to you. I've said this before, but my children, I love my children. And Ezra is in sixth grade, and he's so neat because he is not ashamed of his mama. Like, he loves it. If I go to lunch with him, like, he'll come and just snuggle with me. Like, it's wonderful. You know, when he comes just to be with me, just because he loves me, that does my heart so good. When we go into the presence of God and we say, God, I just want to be with you. I just want to hear if there's anything that you want to say to me. God, I want to hear if there's somebody you want me to intercede for so that I can get in agreement with you. God, I just want to hear you. Begin to cultivate that relationship with the Lord. Acts 13:4 says, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, They went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now, when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, this is the same Bar-Jesus, for his name, so his name was translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O fool of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness. Will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now, Paul saw what was going on in the physical. I'm sure he could see that this man is trying to withstand him. He's causing arguments and problems and trying to get this guy not to listen to what's being said. But Paul also saw beyond into the spiritual. And he saw what the Holy Spirit revealed to him. And then he spoke out of what the Holy Spirit revealed to him. And that's why he said, "Full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you envy enemy of all righteousness. Will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" Ephesians 6 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So often we spend so much time wrestling with the flesh, when in reality, there is a deeper issue. We need to see in the spiritual and recognize what the enemy is doing so that we can handle it in the spiritual. This is what Paul did, is he handled it in the physical by seeing into the spiritual. We need to let God open our spiritual eyes. We need to learn to listen to our spiritual senses. We have to train ourselves to see beyond just the physical, because otherwise we can be frustrated with people and not see the bigger problem, which is the enemy behind what the people are doing. If we learn to see in the spiritual and we learn to stop and listen to the Holy Spirit's instructions, we will be able to respond in a spiritual way instead of a fleshly way. And God's ways are always better. He is wise. He sees the whole situation. He sees beyond what the person is doing to the reason behind their doing it. And we can see in the spiritual. So many people walk around spiritually blind and deaf, wondering why they don't move forward spiritually. But every time they don't feel or they can't explain, they backtrack and go back to milk, just like we talked about at the beginning. We need spiritual help to eat spiritual meat. You need the revelation from the Holy Spirit, because He is the one who gives that revelation. And then our spirit is strengthened. But we have to be willing to let Him teach us. And that takes time. It takes us caring enough about what God wants to teach us, making it a priority. God, you are my priority. I will seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and I will trust that all these other things will be added. So often we are seeking first everything else and going, "God, why am I struggling in my spiritual life?" You will always struggle until you learn to seek first the kingdom. But when we seek first the kingdom, it says all these other things will be added. Why? Because God knows how. He knows what we need already. He knows how to give us the things that we need. And so I want to challenge you to become hungry. If you're not hungry, the Bible says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." We need to be hungry for spiritual things. The beautiful thing is that so much of it is dependent on God. So if you are not hungry, say to God, "God, I am not hungry for you. Please give me a hunger for spiritual things." But I will tell you this. If you are filling yourself up all the time with spiritual, with physical things, not with just food, but when you fill yourself up physically, how many of you know you eat too much? Even if somebody puts something very good in front of you, you don't want it because you're so full. Dan Palmer talked about this when he was here. And he said, often we are so full of physical things that when wonderful spiritual truths are presented to us, we're not interested because we're full of the world already. Listen, take some time away from filling yourself physically in order to fill yourself spiritually. And if you don't understand it initially, that's okay. Understand, if you are drinking milk right now, you have to start somewhere. There's nothing wrong with that. But just don't stay there and 10 years from now still be drinking milk. Ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, give me a hunger. And if the Lord begins to deal with you about things, because he will, he'll begin to say, you need to let go of that television show. You need to not go out tonight. I want you to stay home and spend some time with me. You need to let go of that habit. You need to straighten up the way, you know. But even in that, we can say, Lord, I am weak, but you are strong. God, help me to do what you're asking me to do. So I'm just going to ask Joe to play some my worship. And I'm going to ask you guys to come. And if anybody needs prayer, I just want to invite you. Don't just be a hearer of the word. Be a doer. 1 John, I want to end, and while they're pulling that I worship, I'm going to read this because I had never seen it in this way, actually, until today. And I was just... James 1, it says in verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. We do need to lay aside things and allow the Holy Spirit to implant, allow God to reveal things. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. As we've said before, if you only hear and you don't do, you will deceive yourself. It will happen because we talk ourselves right out of conviction and tell ourselves that what we're doing is okay. And everybody else does it anyway. And nobody can judge me because nobody else is perfect either. And we just talk ourselves right out of that conviction that God was doing in order to help us grow. But notice this, it says, verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face, his fleshly face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So we have to not just look in the physical mirror. Most of us look in the physical mirror every day so that we can fix ourselves, you know, fix our hair. For ladies, fix our makeup, you know, for men, you know, fix your, you know, hair or, you know, shave or whatever it is that you do. You know, we look into the physical mirror, but we have to look into the spiritual mirror. Notice, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does.